So as I recall, there was a question, and it was sort of a long question, and I answered it partially. So if you could restate the question.
Krishna says, "Don't worry, just surrender to me and I will manage everything." Also, Hari is known to take away all the inauspiciousness. But how not to worry, how to surrender? And does the Lord take our inner inauspiciousness too? Our sadness, envy, sense of guilt. And if it is said that you can offer Lord anything, good or bad, is it actually polite to offer something bad of which you want to get rid?
That reminds me of when the various devotees are visiting India at the time of the parikrama, and Srila Avadhut Maharaj, he would give pranami, you know, donations to Srila Gurudev upon his arrival. And Gurudev noted that, and in case of some others, they were giving Gurudev what, on the day they left, what remained. You understand? Of the money they had not spent, they gave to him. And Gurudev was just, and we understand, it's not good and bad and the dark side and the light side. Just devotees are learning, becoming familiar with what is proper. And these examples surface from time to time to help us give guidance. But Gurudev said, what Avadhut Maharaj, this is appropriate. The day he arrives, he is giving. Not that after he has made so many expenditures, what remains he's offering. But from the very beginning. So, but still, there are all kinds of things that are possible. Once, we sometimes hear the name of Srila Bhakti Bichar Jajavar Maharaj, who was the last sannyas disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he's a dear friend of Srila Guru Maharaj. And like others, other principal servitors of Srila Saraswati Thakur, he liked to visit Srila Guru Maharaj and stay at the mat for like a month and just have Guru Maharaj's association, engage in Harikatha, and also their friendship, share their experiences, and recall their preaching times and different things. And he would sit outside of his room, sometimes taking the holy name with an assistant or so, and sometimes he would interact with us. Or in one instance, he called myself and Bhaktianand Sagar Maharaj over to, he's happy to see young sannyasis and preachers and sharing some of his experiences. And sometimes in a little teasing way. So once he said, while he was preaching, remember in India, there are legitimate scriptures, there are not so legitimate scriptures, there are illegitimate, there's a wide spectral range of things that are perceived as being shastra. Right? Even within recognized shastra, there's puranas in the mode, for those in the mode of ignorance, for those in the mode of passion, for those in the mode of goodness. So they're addressing everyone according to the situation that they're in life. Some people promoted, predominated by the mode of ignorance, a certain manner of exposure is given to them, and they're encouraged along certain lines from their relative position to make progress. Same for those in the mode of, predominated by the mode of passion or goodness. But whether this is from a legitimate scripture or not, I don't recall, he said, but while he was preaching, someone, they said, in the such and such scripture, It says at the Govardhan Annakut, after Gopal is installed on Govardhan Hill and Madhavendra Puri begins these big festivals, we're told for a certain time, people from different villages, they come and they do like the Seva Puja for that day. They make so many things, offer them. And we hear at the time of actual Govardhan, well, Krishna is encouraging the cowherd folk to make offerings to Giriraj Govardhan. He's showing like many hands and everything he's taking and, you know, like he's consuming everything happily. But he said, but these people, where he was preaching, said, oh, in the such and such scripture, it says that he was accepting the offerings from everyone. Everyone's offering, and this liberal gesture. And some of those offerings were, as they say in India, non-veg. But Yajnavalkya is like that. He said, so what would you say if you were traveling and someone, you know, threw this at you during a time? And Sagar Maharaj, we were like thinking about this. We didn't have immediate answer, but it's as if Yajnavalkya was teasing us a little bit, and he quoted this famous sloka from the Bhagavad Gita, yad karosi yad jahosi tad jahosi dadasyat tad kurusva madarpanam, where Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, do it as an offering to me. So his laughing saying, so would it include these things? And, you know, I suppose if I was pressed, I mean, Krishna can do anything, first of all. He's Swarat, he's independent. Gurudev liked to tell the story of the hunter, or the Vyad hunter butcher slash butcher, and a Brahmin, like a Pakka Brahmin. That this hunter slash butcher, he, as we've seen in India, maybe they have in China, where they have these scales, and they put, like, they have one weight, it says kilo, another one says 250 grams, you know, fit. But invariably in India, anyone you see, and they're still doing that, they hold it up, put the mangoes on one side, the other side, and when it tilts a little bit in your favor, then they give it to you. It's never the other way around. It's always a little bit in your favor, then they give it to you. But in India, you'll see sometimes they to get things really exact, they throw a coin on, or they have some little stone they throw on that's not any designated weight, but it's meaningful to that person. They put the stone on and it balances out, and your transaction is completed. So this Brahmin sees he's on his scale, it's meat, you know, fresh slaughtered meat that he is selling. And the stone he uses to balance things out is a Shalagram Shila. Like we were told, Giriraj Govardhan Shila, Raga Marg, it's very generous. A offering may not be the exact time, and it may not have all of accoutrements or the things required for high level first class Brahmin puja, the 16 types of ingredients and this, that. Many things are there. So it's sold a raga marg, what the aspiring servitor, what they're taking, they offer first to the deity. Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, tulsi manjaris and water. Later he added some, that, what is that? Kaja, that type of sweet, different things. But, so the Brahmin, well, we say, so that's Giriraj Govardhan Shila. But Shalagram Shila, requires the highest standard, or there is offense. The highest standards imaginable, and they must be maintained, otherwise there's grave offense. Seva aparad. So this Brahmin going by, he sees on his scale meat on one side, and on the other side, a shalagram shila. And he's thinking like, oh my God, you know what I mean? You don't know what you're doing, you foolish man. He pleads ignorance. And he said, this is a shalagram shila, and you can't imagine the consequence of this type of aparad, but I, as a paka brahman, if you give that shila to me, I will take, do the abhishek, offer the 16 variety of puja ingredients, etc., and pray to the Lord that he may forgive you for this grave offense. Oh, you're so kind to me. I'm a foolish man. I don't know anything. I'm so ignorant, and now my ignorance will be the cause of untold suffering. Please save me. And the Brahmin, he takes the shila, puts him on a throne, has the abhishek, everything. And he's satisfied that he's corrected the situation. But that night, in a dream, the deity appears to him, says, you fool, what are you doing? He said, you do not know that man actually in his past life, he's a great devotee. He's appearing in this way in this life. And I was so happy swinging on his scale, just like, you know, when you're happily swinging, he said, I was so happy swinging on his scale. And then you took me forcibly, put me on this throne and forcing all this puja, grand puja and so much paraphernalia. But I was very happy swinging on the throne of my devotee. So, if nothing else, this tells us that we should be cautious. We shouldn't think, oh, I will also offer such things. That's to get the wrong idea of the story. Okay. Still, the principle is there, bhavagrahi janardana, that Krishna accepts the mood, the heart that's behind the offering. We also hear that aphorism that God helps those that help themselves. So although we could say in the beginning stages, in the initial approach, more will be, the benefit of the doubt will be given, more will be overlooked. But if someone is sincere, they want to know what is proper behavior, what is a proper offering? What is a proper approach? So we expect that there should be some improvement. Admittedly, we're Ramanda Brahmite, wandering throughout the length and the breadth of the universe according to our own acquired misconception. Bhagyawan Jeev comes in connection with Krishna's agent, Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnav. Then they transition from misconception to proper conception. Right? Want to come under the influence of the vision of Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnava and proceed along those lines. Guru Maharaj mentions, though, that when you're in the mud, right, to walk out of the mud, you may have to go through the mud for some time. Right? That's understandable. He said, for some time. But the idea is to make progress, to improve through service to proper agents, one's capacity to recognize spiritual substance should improve or increase. They should acquire greater assessment value, how to assess the value of things. So, when it said Krishna removes inauspiciousness, again, God helps those that help themselves. Not that we will just be content to remain as we are and think, well, you know, Krishna, that's up to Krishna to remove lust, anger, greed, envy. You know, what is it? Kam, krodh, moha, mada, matsarja. No, there has to be some earnestness on behalf of the aspiring servitor to take full shelter of the lotus feet of a substantial Vaishnava and gradually, by their grace, overcome inauspicious influence. Not to just say, oh, I will remain as I am, and then, you know, Krishna will take all these things away from me. Like Gurudev was always saying, we should follow Mahaprabhu's teachings. Humility, tolerance, giving honor to others, not expecting for ourselves. But when it came to, say, for example, tolerance, he said, we shall have to learn to tolerate that which is intolerable. To tolerate what is just annoying or on some level tolerable, that's good. He said, but really we have to come to the level of being able to tolerate what is intolerable. Right? And that doesn't mean with regard to physical suffering, or rather, usually, ego. You like to quote that verse, what is it, ahankara nivrittanam, etc. What is the last line? Parbata rishaya, saying, Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda says, vinod boli hai hai haridas harinahi pai. Krishna is near and dearest to everyone, but no Krishna to be found. What is the problem? That there's a mountain of ego separating us. So then we hear, so there's a mountain of ego separating, that implies some great insurmountable object. But elsewhere we will hear, I can listen, samasritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam budhir vatsa padam parampadam navipadam natesham. That if we come and take shelter of Krishna's agent and come under the influence of their conception, what appeared to be, in one case, mountainous or oceanic in this case, means oceanic in magnitude, becomes reduced to the water in the hoof print of a calf, means a drop. So how does something of such magnitude, how does this reversal take place? By changing our perspective, our way of seeing, right? By coming under the influence of the vision of Sri Guru and Vaishnava, Saru Shastra. The primal Guru mantra, Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, is the disciple is expressing gratitude for being gifted with Dibhyagyan, Dibhyachakshu, divine eyes, a new way of seeing things. Right? That's the spiritual project. A new way of seeing ourselves, the environment, and our service potential, to move from egocentric to theocentric. Right? To give up acquired prejudice and acquired tendencies and put our energy in simple acts of devotion. So we're told, by the grace of Sri Guru and Vaishnava, these things may be overcome. Who is it? Narottam Thakur, in his song, compares them, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc., to highway robbers. So he's saying, the aspiring servitor, is on the spiritual path, and they're like highway robbers to come to plunder your wealth. And what is his advice? He's saying, take the name of the Vaishnava. And what that means, bring about remembrance of Vaishnava and Guru. Seek their grace, their advice, their instruction. And that'll be helpful. Absorb oneself in serving. Das kori beton mori deho premadan. Beton means salary. The salary of the sincere servitor is that the sort of devotion that is in the heart of the Vaishnava will be transferred to the servitor. That's the method. So if we say, yes, Krishna takes away, but practically speaking, how? Through service. Fully absorbing oneself in service to the point of where there's no time for such things. Not only for those things, but Guru Maharaj said in the case of one divine, no time for Vaikuntha. And they send the Vishnu Ratha, the Chinmoy, spiritually conscious chariot, to take him to the spiritual world, to the Vaikuntha. He's saying, I don't have time for this. I'm busy serving my Guru. He said, what to speak of for Maya? No time for Vaikuntha. And, as I mentioned the other day, that also, by the grace of the Vaishnavas, we gain increased understanding of what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, in terms of offering things to Krishna. So the Vedas, they are compared to a desire tree. And in this sense, that whatever they're approached for, they respond. So that means even from those who are deeply enmeshed in the mundane, there's some prescription for them. This is why just a cursory glance of the Vedas, if we don't study them carefully, we'll think, well, here they said you can do this, here they say you can do that, you can offer this, you can offer that. But it is just as in the case of meat, the Vedas, there's prescriptions for meat eating. It's not their primary advice, but they realize there are people who, this is the world, as Manu Sangeeti says, of, you know, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, etc. So in this world, we have to say, there's no fault. This is the world where such things are going on. If someone's doing this thing, there's no fault. But then it says, but if you want to make spiritual progress, you're going to have to regulate these things to the point of where they're no longer a factor. But in the general sense, there's no fault there. This is that world. Just as on the airplane, the Indian gentleman sitting next to me goes, at the meals, and he's, oh, I see you're, taking veg, vegetarian. I said, yes. He goes, I'm also taking veg. Yeah. I said, oh, really? Yeah. He said, I'm also taking non-veg. Like, you're taking, I'm taking veg and non-veg. I thought, you're better than me. But, so there's some prescription there. But interestingly, what is the idea? That through regulation, that gradually something inauspicious or undesirable will be brought under control. Okay? Not in an unrestricted way, a restricted way. That's a certain type of control. So they would say, at this phase of the moon, this type of animal can be sacrificed with these mantras, etc. There was a process. So it's a way of gradually bringing the senses under control. But another point that's noteworthy is the Sanskrit word for meat, which is mangsha. Mang meaning me, sa meaning he. As I'm consuming you in this lifetime, you shall consume me in a future lifetime. So someone should wake up and think, like, maybe this is not a good idea in the long run. I have some uncontrolled urge, and it's going to lead to a extreme suffering as a consequence. Maybe I should control myself. What Solzhenitsyn called serene voluntary self-restraint. So Guru Maharaj also mentioned with regard, so those Vedas, as they say, Kalpataru, their fulfilled desires, even mundane desires, they've got a program for that. But then spiritual desires, and then spiritual desire can be seen variously. Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Yoga, and Bhakti. Well, in the Bhagavatam, the slogan is there, Akama, Sarvakamava, Mokshakama, Udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purushamparam. List these three types. Akama means without, who are desireless. That means without mundane desire. Maybe they have spiritual aspirations, but no kama, mundane desire. Akama. Sarvakama means filled with desires, unlimited desires. Another category says mokshakama, those who are seeking liberation or freedom from all of this, sort of action, reaction, etc. So the conclusion is interesting. Whether you're akama, sarvakama, or mokshakama, approach Krishna. That's our advice. And when you come in connection with Krishna, all of this will become irrelevant. That's the confidence with which this is being said. And we see the example of Dhruva Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, who being disrespected by, you know, there's a king, a queen, and his mother's not royalty. And he's playing with another, stepbrother who is royalty. And the queen makes it be known that he will never sit on the throne, that he's a lower class person. And this hurts his ego. He finds out from his mother what the situation is. He's around 5 years old. His ego is bruised. And he's thinking, then I want a kingdom greater than the king than anyone. And she's thinking, that may not be, the only way that could be possible is by the grace of God. You think, where is this God? I wanted to speak with him. You know, she's saying, his mother's a very simple-hearted lady. She said, well, there's the Tapovan, the forest, and great saints go to the forest and they do penance and austerities, and sometimes he appears to them. He leaves immediately. That's where I'm going. children do this all the time. They usually come back for sandwiches like an hour later or something. I have my own experience with that. But not Dhruva Maharaj, as Dhruva implies this kind of inner resolve. So he goes to the forest and he's so sincere. Narada appears on the scene, gives him some spiritual instructions, and he follows them very seriously. And he starts doing austerities, and his inward breath, outward breath is starting to affect the entire universe. He's so earnest and qualified and potent. And then he has this sole purpose. He wants to see the Lord and convey his aspiration to him. That's his idea. But it's very pure, his approach. His desire is not, but his approach is very earnest, you can say. Not pure, it's so earnest. And then at a certain point, he sees the Lord within his heart. Just as the aspiration, you can see him very clearly, and he is enamored by his beauty and his presence. And this is beginning to influence his heart. His heart is melting at the beautiful vision of the Lord. And it's not just, it's substantial, the Lord's. And then suddenly, he vanishes. And he's plunged into an ocean of grief and separation. He so much wants to see the Lord again. And he opens his eyes and he sees the Lord is standing before him. So his earnestness was so great, not only that he would appear in his heart, but even appear before him. And at that point, he's ready to offer Dhruva whatever he wants. And the famous sloka, they say, Swamin Pitartosmi Baram Najache. Although so young, his realization, he said, he thinks about his former ambition and aspiration, and he's ashamed of that. And although from a material estimation, it was such a great ambition, he's saying, now that I'm seeing you and your beauty, he said, it's like I was searching for broken pieces of glass, shards of glass, and I have the most valuable diamond, gem. So the Bhagavatam says with great certainty, whatever your position is, you're this kind of person or that kind of person, you're situated in this circumstance or that circumstance, whatever it is, approach Krishna. Because they know, if you actually are sincere, if your idea, all right, I will approach Krishna, and then from Krishna, I will get what I want. That's true, but your wanting will be upgraded instantly. And we're told the Vaishnava is something, they're called sparsha money. It's a little different in Sanskrit than it is in English. This touchstone has one meaning, philosopher's stone another thing. It's called sparsha money, means in Sanskrit that this coming in contact with this, iron is transformed into gold. That's what it's saying. So from the previous iron-like position. And the details of it are not relevant. Someone was saying this way or that way, or they found this situation or that situation. It's irrelevant. If they come in contact with the Sparsha Muni, Krishna's agent, they will be transformed. When Guru Maharaj is explaining the Shikshastakam, he says, in the sloka, Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavambhuto kripaya tabat para pankajastita duli sadrusham vichintaya. And it's Mahaprabhu praying, saying, oh, somehow or other, although I'm Krishna Kinkar, I am your das, your servant, I've fallen into this ocean of desire, ignorance, suffering. I'm saying, but please be merciful to me and accept me as one of the atoms of dust at your holy lotus feet. Why is this significant? Is that Guru Maharaj, part of his explanation is that this is the only sensible, realizable aspiration from our present position. That's why all this discussion of, you know, voyeuristically envisioning oneself as some super servitor in the spiritual world is an unhealthy fantasy. It's fiction. It's irrelevant to our... It's nice to know as an ultimate aspiration. It is irrelevant to our present situation. The proper aspiration from present, he's saying, an atomic presence in that plane. Right? Not, and I'll be a super servitor there, an association. That is just foolish. And betrays ignorance of sambandha, abhideya, prayojan, of everything. Right? Guru Maharaj said, you cannot distinguish between mind and intelligence clearly, and you want to go into details about the Paramatma world. Right? So, the proper aspiration, an atomic presence in that plane, that's what he's saying. Prabhupada used to say it as, fix me up as one of the atoms of your holy lotus feet. I think padat means the dust. What is the dust? Materially speaking, it's like the least thing in this world, isn't it? Dust. That's you know, you say, why the dust and the this and the... Because it's it has some meaning. That means the least. There's nothing lower than that. And we don't want to get in the whole thing about, you know, quarks and things like that. Just understand the principle of what's being said. So generally thought, the least of the visible things in this world, right? If I could be a particle of dust at your holy lotus feet, please grant that position to me. That's the proper aspiration. Then, Guru Maharaj said, once that is achieved, then we see in the next sloka, we can say spiritual aspiration and ambition, as we sometimes hear in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Thakur. But if we don't understand the sequencing and the stratification of these things, then we'll be saying this high thing here and mixing it with the low thing over here, and the whole thing becomes a hodgepodge. And is not helpful and inevitably leads to offense. You have neophytes trying to deal with higher things. Those things that are high voltage, you have those who are not qualified electricians trying to handle high voltage. What is the outcome going to be? Electrocution. So, saying, if that atomic presence is granted, and that's not your choice, right? It's already a given that we'd like to proceed along the, you know, we know you want a visa, right? You've submitted your application, but you can't give yourself a visa. Well, certain Russian devotees can, but normally. No, the fact is you cannot give yourself a visa, right? You have to be, that the country that we're seeking admission, their agents have to determine that it's in the interest of that world to give you admission. This is common sense. They will determine that. All right, what is the nature of that world? This is not tourism. That I'm fascinated by Shastric descriptions or what I've heard or the pictures I've seen. I'd like to go for a visit. That's not the spiritual world. It's the Seva Mayoyam Loka, the Shraddha Mayoyam Loka. It's very chinmoy, Vaikuntyera Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy. It's made out of spiritually conscious, dedicating substance. So it's the world of Seva, Seva Mayoyam Loka. The agents, they determine, is your service needed? That's right, service necessity is our greatest, it is the thing that gives life to the servitor. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In one place, that's conventionally rendered one way. A little progress on this path protects one from the greatest type of fear. One place Prabhupada said, what is that fear? Receding into the animal species where there's no real opportunity for seva, other than we see the animals here, they, by the grace, you know, they get some service opportunity. It's also possible. But generally, spiritual culture is for human beings. But Guru Maharaj parsed this in an interesting way. He said, the greatest fear for a devotee is that their service is not being accepted. That's their fear. Because if we factor in the Chitraketu pastimes, Narayana Puraksarve Nakutaschana Bibhyati Swargapavarg Narakeshul Turyarta Darshina Bibhyati. Their fear is whether their service is being accepted or not. They're not, whether it's in a very favorable material circumstance or one that is apparently unfavorable, that's not their concern. I mean, is the service needed? And is it being accepted? Just as Srila Govindamara, Srila Gurudev was praising Yudhamanyu Prabhu, saying, he only asked one question, do you want this or not? Not so many other details or giving so much background. Do you want this or not? If you want this, then I'm prepared to dedicate all of my energy to that. If you don't want it, I've forgotten. I will forget it immediately. So, Guru Maharaj has died to live. We say, well, we're not like that. We hear all these descriptions about what is devotion, what is a devotee, and admittedly, we have to say, candidly, we are not like that. So is there any hope for us? Well, through association. But we must also be prepared to die to live. If we think we're going to remain as we are, then we're not going to make much progress. There has to be some sacrifice on our part. Fortunately for us, the association of devotees, if we just somehow or other remain in the association of devotees, we get by surrounded by that association, we're pulled in an auspicious direction. Just as at the Jagannath Rath Yatra, the one devotee from Venezuela, there's a million people there. Not exaggeration. There's literally a million people there. You can count them. And they're sometimes pressed together, and there are different kirtan groups, and they're trying to. And so this devotee, somehow he went out of our group into another group. And he's saying, but he couldn't get back because that everyone was like this. So wherever that group went, they were carrying him there. Literally, his body would be forced to go in that direction. He was just like, so they just kept going and carrying him along. So spiritual association is like that. If we just stay within it, even if we're not in the best mood or the best consciousness or making as much progress as we could, by the grace of the association of the other devotees, we'll be carried along in the right direction. Perhaps to a time where our inspiration will reappear. Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah. A question from Ajita Krishna Prabhu. How to properly understand that happiness is the personality?
Well, really, from Guru Maharaj's point of view, how could it not be? I mean, happiness, it can only be, like there was an article recently about bees, and bees, like when they take nectar, how do they feel? Scientists, they're always analyzing so many things. So they're doing these tests and they're seeing like, it appears that after the bees take the nectar that they feel happy. And they're saying, we don't exactly want to say happy, but it seems we're monitoring their brain. It seems like something's going on in their brains that's like good. We need scientists to tell us that when bees take nectar, they're happy. But what it shows us, it's not that the nectar itself is happiness, right? It means that that happiness is the food of consciousness. Right? Sat chit anandam is the sequence. You know, existence, cognizance, happiness, pleasure. So it means consciousness enables us to feel happiness. So here, this is from an external point of view, is what is giving happiness? Apparently some, by tasting some mundane substance, the end result in the conscious being is some simulated happiness. That's from an external point of view. But then when we come to the consciousness side of things, as Guru Maharaj will say in The Subjective Evolution of Consciousness, that the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. Just as this chair, I say it's hard, it's black, it has weight, height, depth, width, dimensions, so many things. What shall we say about it in summary? A cluster of subjective concepts, all of those things, hard, soft, black, white, all, these are all subjective, actually. A cluster of subjective concepts makes an object. So the whole objective world is like an object floating in an ocean of consciousness. As I've mentioned many times in traveling and preaching, that we are being fed a narrative that presented a narrative that says the objective world is relatively unlimited. And without going in all the details of dark matter, this, that, and the other thing, let's just keep it simple. There's a trillion stars, we're told. Plus or minus. A trillion stars. And the narrative we're being presented is that, and of these, we only know one planet that sustains life, and has what we shall call like a conscious elite. Okay. And we see gradations of consciousness according to the evolution of species. But human beings represent that conscious elite. So, and these human beings, we can say, if they get lucky on a good day, they experience a drop of happiness, of intense happiness. So in this scenario, happiness is minuscule. It's a drop. Consciousness, somewhat greater. But what's vast is the unconscious objective world, the universe. That's vast, nearly unlimited. And there's, and this one blue planet, one planet of the trillion stars, has life forms among them. Human beings are the conscious elite. They're lucky on a good day, a drop of happiness. So Anandam's a drop, consciousness somewhat greater, but vast objective world. And the subjective evolution of consciousness, Srila Guru Maharaj is saying the exact opposite. That the objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. Consciousness is a far greater substance. Just as he says elsewhere, the mental world is, said the objective world, he said, if you look at a vat of milk and on top there's a layer of skin, that's the conscious world. Remove that, there's this giant vat of milk. So he's saying, going from the mind to the conscious world, that is vast and virtually unlimited. But in this narrative, Anandam, or happiness, is the ultimate all-comprehensive substance that's personified as Krishna. According to Vedanta, the ultimate reality is Anandam, is happiness personified. That's the spiritual interpretation, just the opposite. So Anandam is the greatest substance, because Krishna is Anandam, right? Personified. It's most comprehensive, but it requires us to abandon stereotypical thinking. So Kaviraj Goswami, it's actually, I think, Mahaprabhu's example to Rupa Goswami, but it's presented by Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamritam. As Guru Maharaj asked Achyutananda Swami once, he said, how can all of the opulence of Vaikuntha, the unlimited Vaikuntha world, how can all the opulence of Vaikuntha be accommodated in an atom of Goloka? And Achyutananda is very intelligent, very fast. He said, which tree shall we use? Like a mango tree and a mango seed, you know, or a banyan tree and a banyan seed. They're even smaller. Right? From this small seed, this giant tree comes out. And Guru, hearing his quick answer, he said, beautiful, but wrong. Hare Krishna. He's come for the evening class. Hare Krishna. So you heard that I said that even the dog and cat, they're serving. They're serving the mat by keeping away undesirable elements, and they have the affection of the Vaishnavas. They're hearing the kirtans, they're taking the prasadam. Their lives are auspicious now and increasingly auspicious in the future. But so Guru Maharaj said to him, when he said, like, you know, a banyan tree is in a tiny banyan seed. And I said, beautiful, but wrong. And gave the example of Charitamritam, where he said, when you have a vat of sugar cane juice, like we've seen in India. They make so much sugar cane juice. Then if you cook that and condense it, it turns into molasses. If you take it further, it turns into gur. If you go further, into sugar, and ultimately into like rock candy. So this vast ocean, vat of sweetness, becomes concentrated into one drop of this rock candy. So he's saying all the opulence of Vaikuntha can be concentrated into a drop of Goloka, and as is given also by Swarup Damodar Goswami in the Harapanchami section, where Srivas Thakur, he's teasing him to bring him out, because the higher Vaishnavas keeping themselves concealed. And so Srivas Thakur, who we know is also Narada, very familiar with Vaikuntha, he's saying, look at the opulence of the goddess of fortune. She's riding on a jeweled golden throne surrounded by so many servitors. She herself bedecked with so many jewels from the spiritual world. And what do the Braja Gopis have? They have cows, and they milk the cows, so they have lots of milk and butter and things like that, and forest flowers. And there's no comparison between Lakshmi Devi and these village girls, the Braja Gopis. And Mahaprabhu warns him by saying, be careful what you say to Swarup Damodar. He said, he is a Shuddha Brijbasi. Opulence is not in his dictionary. Right? And Swarup Damodar says, no, it's not that I don't know what opulence is. He said, but I think Srivas has lost his mind momentarily. And he quotes Brahma Sangita, Toyam Amritam, we're saying, in the spiritual world, the water is nectar. In this conscious plane, Chinmoy plane, all the water is nectar, where every movement is dance, all speech is song. But then he quotes Bilba Mangal Thakur, where he says, Chintamani Ishcharana Bhushana Manganam, Sringara Pushpa Taravas Taravas Suranam. Rajadanam Nanu Kamadenu Brindani Cheta Sukasindur Ho Vibhuti. Forgot some word, but he's saying, in that world, you describe it as like a village environment. Where the spiritual world is also described as like 50 square kilometers as Vrindavan. Means a prakrita. It appears to be measurable. It appears to be village-like. But in one particle of soil of that village is the innumerable, unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And what does he say? So the trees are Kamadenu, they're Kalpavriksha, desire trees. The cows are Kamadenu, Kalpavriksha, desire trees, Kamadenu cows. And what are the Braja Gopis' situation? Chintamani Charanabhushana Angananam. The Chintamani gem, one Chintamani gem has more opulence than the whole Vaikuntha world. The Braja Gopis are stringing them and wearing them as ornaments on the ankles of their holy lotus feet. So I'm saying, like, so the Vaikuntha world is unlimited, each Vaikuntha planet is unlimited. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and they're all being accommodated in one part of the soil of this plane that appears like a village. So I say, that's beyond what the brain can comprehend. Yes. So those Vedas we alluded to before, they're whatever situation someone is in, they have a program for them. Right? The Vedas have been compared to a tree. Told, the flower of that tree, Vedanta Sutra, where it says, Anandamayo Vyasat, the Absolute, by His own nature, is Anandam, or happiness, joyful. Then what? When the flower gives way, the fruit comes out, Nigama Kalpataroor Galitam Palam Shukamukaram Ritadavasamyatam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature, fully ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And that's where the pastimes of happiness personified, Anandamurti Krishna, are presented. So really, happiness has to do with consciousness. Consciousness cannot be divorced from personality. So neither can happiness. So the supreme happiness, Paramananda, means supreme happiness. Param Ananda. Paramanandam. Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayo Dasa Dasanu Dasa. It's Krishna. He is happiness personified. Rasaraj. Krishna. But that's half of the good news. The other half, Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. Krishna's happiness personified, rasa personified, ecstasy personified. But who can extract from Krishna? They told a tiny jiva soul, fine, infinitesimal jiva, can extract an infinitesimal amount of infinite. Drop of the infinite is also infinite. But Radharani, Krishna's better half, she can behave with Krishna as an equal. Or when it comes to Krishna Prem, a superior. She can extract the highest quality and the highest quantity of rasa from Krishna. And out of gratitude to her servitors, she's nourishing them with Mahabhav. So happiness is only meaningful to the conscious. Right? And consciousness can never be divorced from personality. So the ultimate realization of the ultimate happiness is in connection with the Supreme Personality, the reservoir of pleasure. That's Prabhupada told. Ananda Mayobhyasat. Ananda Chinmayarasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhira Eja Nivarupataya Kalabhi. And he's happiness personified and expanding into others. Akila Rasamrita Murti. To accommodate the heart of everyone. So there's Krishna appears as Rama to reciprocate that type of devotion. As Dwaraka Krishna, Mathuresh, Vishnu, of Vaikuntha, Narayan, so many avatars. But avatars are, it's Krishna. The origin of all of them. The sweetest. Even Vishnu, there's something, you know, he can understand, he's beautiful, inconceivably beautiful, he's saying, but there's something just, you know, that's the French. Je ne sais quoi. The French say, I don't know what about Krishna. Is it the sound of his flute, the sweet pastimes with the devotees, his tribhanga lalita, the beauty of his form? Radharani, in her divine love and madness, is condemning herself. She said, oh, you know, I heard this name, Krishna, and it just completely captured my heart. Sometimes they're told her earrings are vibrating Krishna Nam into her, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And I heard the name of Krishna, and it captured my heart wholesale. The sound, as Bhaktivinoda describes in his Sharanagati, how soul, heart, heart-swallowing, soul-capturing is the holy name of Krishna. So it captured my heart completely. But then I heard the sweet sound of the flute, and then that captured my heart completely. And then I saw in my heart this, the divine form of Krishna, and that captured. But she's saying Krishna, the sound of the flute, and the form of this third. She's saying, now my condition is very lamentable because I'm splayed, I'm captured by three different places. But they're all Krishna. But she's saying like that, as if she's been fragmented and her heart three times given. I'm talking about trifecta, three times perfect. Atma Siddha Sava Lila Purna Sokya Lakshanam. Not only a person, but as Guru Maharaj is telling me, the ultimate reality, he said, reality is dancing. He said, which when dance is the outcome of uncontainable ecstatic ecstasy. Ecstatic joy, not flat joy, not static joy, ecstatic. I think it's redundant, but maybe not. Because ecstatic, from the Greek, means like besides yourself, outside yourself. So cannot be contained, turns into movement, dance. So Guru said the ultimate reality must be dancing. It's an indication of the ultimate reality in the truest, highest sense is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna dancing ecstatically under the influence of the heart of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Jari gorna hoite tabiki hoite kamari dori tam dehe Radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. So happiness personified Krishna said, then what about me? You know, it's like Guru said, sugar, we're talking about sweet, everyone wants to taste sugar, and they love it, whether it's the bee, the ant, us, Lilavati, the red sugar, right, from China, that red sugar is very, very crunchy. It's very nice. So, but sugar is saying, what about me? So then sugar is saying, like everyone's going mad for sugar. Then if sugar could think like, I would like to taste what they're tasting, but I can't do it as sugar, so I'll have to take the position of someone who enjoys the sweetness of sugar. It's similar to that. So Krishna's saying, everyone's mad about me. You know, whether it's a karmis, gyanis, yogis, but then when you get to the devotees, forget about it. All these different types of devotees and their different rasas and relationships culminating in the ultimate sweetness of Radharani and Brajagopis. And she's the Supreme One, and he's seeing what the effects of her seeing him, hearing him, tasting, touch, all these things that has upon her. He's thinking, I want to know what that's like, but I can't from my present position. So he has to, Ritva madaram upabhoktam kamapiya. He steals her heart, right? And enveloped in her heart, the radiance produces the halo that turns Shyama Sundar Krishna into Gauranga Sundar Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara Nagarabara Nittam Nijer Namabhi. And he's taking his own name and saying, this is so sweet. No wonder. And that's making him dance ecstatically, and he's distributing to you, taste also. Taste this sweetness. And you'll become mad for Krishna also. So Krishna's saying, I'm happiness personified, but who can make me happy? One more qualified than me. And who is that? That is Srimati Radharani. Hladini Shakti. And they're making Krishna happy. That's Krishna Anushilana. And the last words of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, last purport, last page, last line, he says, and I'm paraphrasing, he's saying, thus, you know, the Jiva Shakti or Jiva Soul, thus the Jiva Soul enters their normal position and the pleasure-giving potency. He's admitting we're particles of atomic chit, the chit Shakti, Lanini Shakti, Radharani, saying that's our natural, normal position, to be part of the pleasure potency, what's giving pleasure to Krishna. And the outcome of that is, we can say, Ramante Yogino Ananti Satyirananda Chidatmani, unlimited pleasure and happiness coming in the heart by coming in touch with happiness personified, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna. Echai gochai kori charana bandan. Jaha hoite vignanar sabista puran. Echai gochai jarmui tarodas. Santa Bara Padarinu Moda Panchagras. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. Janame Janame Mori Abhilas. Chai go chai jabe braje koilo vas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakar. Anande bolo hari baja Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Kori Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamadas. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Nitai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charja Satarasa Dashri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Brakak Shvidar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Jai Saparigar Shri Shri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga ki jai. Rup Sanatan Bhattura Ganashi Jiva Gopal Vatadaswara Ganashi Goswami Prabhu ki jai. Shri Pramananda ki jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gau Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Navadeep Dham ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat ki jai. Shri Gupta Govardhan ki jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi ki jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Srila Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Avadhut Maharaj ki jai. Seva Vrinda ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sankirga Swami Maharaj ki jai.